Hey everyone, welcome to the Food Not Bombs Sydney podcast. I'm your host, Daniel, and we'll be using this podcast to get to know some of our regulars and volunteers, hopefully inspire some listeners as well to volunteer with us. And as our first guest, you may recognize his voice from episode one, where he and Izzy spoke on the history of Food Not Bombs at the Sydney Humanist Society. So, Joe, I'm going to welcome you. So, thanks for making the time.
What's up? Good to be here.
Really loved the talk you did. Very well prepared and well researched, well referenced as a fellow geeky nerd. Really respect that. And
Yeah, a lot of people who join up Food Not Bombs don't have a lot of context for where it came from or the fact that it's been running since the 80s or kind of like, basically a staple of pretty much every major protest movement in the Western world. So, felt like we needed to get that out there.
Yeah,
Glad you enjoyed it.
100%. Yes. One of the things that really resonated, which is funny because it's nothing to do with your talk, but after the talk, not saying that your talk was shit, but after the talk, there was someone in the audience that spoke about his kind of personal experiences with homelessness and how Food Not Bombs really inspired him to feel empowered, to take some steps towards political consciousness, even like awareness. And it was like an incredible story and strong example of what Food Not Bombs, kind of the mission of it and what it can achieve. So I'm curious, like for you and how did it kind of make you feel hearing that comment?
Super heartwarming. Sort of similar to my story into Food Not Bombs, which was I started out by eating at it because I was hungry. Like very different situation to the gentleman who shared his story at our talk. He was, I think homeless and sleeping rough and that kind of stuff. And then he got involved in Food Not Bombs and, made friends with activists and people of all stripes after having felt quite isolated and alienated for some time. For me, I was just like a ratbag punk teenager
Nothing's changed.
traveling yeah, exactly. Well, the teenager thing has changed. Yeah, just making my way across the states and being hungry because I didn't have my shit together. And yeah, figuring out that something called Food Not Bombs existed where you could go and eat free food. And yeah, just kind of traveled around and mostly ate at Food Not Bombs. But yeah, his story was particularly touching. Yeah, he found community. He cleaned up a lot of suspect political views that he had held in an unscrutinized way for a long time. And yeah, well, now he's helping run the New South Wales Humanist Society, so he's clearly on his feet and doing great work. So yeah, that was a really fantastic demonstration of basically mutual aid versus charity. So he had, previously eaten at, kind of like churches and soup kitchens and all of that kind of stuff. And was still very isolated by the fact that he was unhoused. And, Food Not Bombs, as opposed to being a charity where the model is, the privileged feeding the underprivileged, everyone's encouraged to join in and get involved as much as they can. And, no distinction is drawn in terms of the value of our volunteers versus the people who eat at Food Not Bombs. So welcoming in that respect. I'm glad he learned stuff and got on his feet and was fed. It was a really cool story. I think that's how we got invited to talk at the Humanist Society. I had no idea. Yeah, that was his background and his motivation for inviting us. But yeah, it was really touching to discover that.
So cool. That's incredible. Solidarity example. And the difference between what we do and like mutual aid versus charity. So I highly recommend all the listeners to check that out as the very first episode. And you touched on it already, like how you first came across Food Not Bombs as someone kind of as someone eating and making use of it. And I'm curious, where did you find out about it when you first kind of heard about it?
Oh, right. So, like, Food Not Bombs still is kind of just like part of the ether of punk culture. So, like, I think even Green Day have mentioned how they used to do Food Not Bombs in interviews. And how Food.bombs does good work and that kind of stuff. So like, yeah, it's pretty well known in the punk scene. And you know, I spent, you know, various parts of kind of like my wayward youth, you know, kind of like in that scene and, you know, squatting for brief periods and that kind of stuff. So yeah, Food Not Bombs was just kind of part of that culture
So cool. And
of existing
after that,
outside of kind of like capitalist accumulation.
the values of punk culture and kind of Food Not Bombs makes so much sense now that you say it. And you got back as a volunteer. So what was that journey like? What made you go towards like serving and starting to help out?
Well, it was many years in between kind of like my initial kind of like teen years, eating at Food.bombs and then just, you know, going to hardcore gigs and having a mosh with a full belly, and, you know, getting involved like I am now. So yeah, like over the pandemic, that was when I really started to get back into kind of like mutual aid in a serious way. I mean, I've always been involved in kind of like politics and policy advocacy, usually for climate related issues, because that's my area of expertise. But yeah, during the pandemic, we saw in a real visceral way how the kind of like structures of state support were just not there and starting to rapidly erode given the circumstances, and same with the provisions of, you know, the modern economy. So, you know, supermarkets had no food, there weren't enough rat tests, around, you couldn't get them for love nor money. And this was all at a stage where we thought the pandemic was, you know, going to be a lot more fatal than it was. It was before the vaccines had been invented. So, you know, they were expecting, you know, the domain Ark to be like a temporary morgue in Sydney, and you know, expecting a death toll up in the 2% and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, that felt really disempowering and kind of like me, just like everyone else during the pandemic, felt like, you know, isolated and frightened. But yeah. What happened was, I had some friends who are involved in similar activities in NAM. Shout out to my NAM homies and NAM Food Not Bombs, who were like, you know, this is shit for everyone. Have you thought about, you know, just taking immediate care of your neighbors, seeing if they want food or anything like that? Because at the start of the pandemic, I was kind of like wise enough to buy like a 20 kilogram sack of black beans and lentils and rice and all that kind of stuff before the supermarkets got completely gutted. And I got those all from kind of like an Indian like supermarket, by the way, because people just don't like think of going to those places during demand spikes. They always go to the big supermarkets. Anyway, so yeah, next time there's a natural disaster, go to your kind of like local Asian supermarket or local Indian place, and they'll probably have giant stores of food. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna ask around, see if anyone wants some food. And I also managed to get a hold through some contacts who work in medicine of a whole bunch of kind of like symptom control stuff for COVID, like, and also pulse oximeters, rat tests, all of that kind of stuff, at a time that no one else had it. And I had some friends who were very smart and ordered some in from Korea when Australia had none. And then, you know, I just started posting on social media, like, who needs a rat test? I'll come deliver. Who needs food? You know, if you can't go to, if you're in lockdown and you can't go to the supermarket and got kids, I'm happy to bring a meal. But I was kind of doing it on my own, and just around the neighborhood. So this is Inner West Sydney. And yeah, so I was kind of involved in it like that. And then, you know, that was awesome. A couple of other of my friends got involved, and I met some wonderful people, and it was, you know, just kind of in an emotional way, a really lovely thing to do. I suddenly didn't feel kind of disempowered anymore, or isolated, or subject to the forces of structures beyond my control. I was kind of helping society be a better place in a real intangible way, and I wanted to keep on doing that. And then, so after the pandemic started easing and that kind of stuff, I saw Food Not Bombs had started serving up at Newtown Station in Sydney, and I was like, oh fuck yeah. There's less need to deliver medical supplies to people now, but there's a lot of hunger in our community, particularly during this cost of living crisis. So I was like, hell yeah, I'll get involved. I found their contact details on a poster, which I think Izzy had put up. And yeah, got involved round about there. So
Sick.
almost a year ago, I think. Yeah. So
Shout out to Izzy and all the people putting out posters and pamphlets.
Izzy and the whole crew. I'm not sure how many of them necessarily want to be named in a podcast, but you know who you are.
First name basis. Exactly.
Yeah, Izzy's
And
already out there.
I think your story will re really resonate with a lot of people who might feel a bit disempowered and want a bit more agency and want to give back in real, like, material ways to the community and feel less isolated. I think that's a big kind of theme across most of us. So thank you very much for sharing. And I'm curious then, what keeps you going? What keeps you volunteering?
Well, one thing is like you almost exclusively meet rad people through Food Not Bombs. Like these are people who are motivated by something other than kind of like social clout or profit. So like, which is a lot of what a lot of people are motivated by. They're fundamentally people who just want to help people out. So and quite often they're politically radical as well, so their politics are rad. And they're cool and young, generally quite a bit younger than me. and so just fun to hang out with. So like the community around Food Not Bombs is pretty awesome. So that makes it easy to stay involved. It's like, yeah, sick. Every week I get to hang out with my friends.
Yep, that
And
social connection and
yeah,
the
and
chats
it's
that you
just
have.
Yeah, so there's the chats. There's just something fundamentally fun about cooking when you have no idea what ingredients you're gonna get. And we get like crazy amounts of food at the moment, but you can never predict what it is. It's just like, 1 week we'll have like eight pumpkins or something, eight like giant pumpkins, and we're like, what the hell do we do with this? Or just like infinite Brussels sprouts or like plantains. And then, some volunteer who's South American is all over what to do with plantains, and so you learn, new cooking tricks and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just heaps of fun.
Yeah, the spontaneity and the creativity. I think there was like a
I should
squash
mention
kind of all of
that
a sudden as well, like all the
I'm
squash and potatoes. Don't know what to do with them, but we find out on the spot.
yeah, I don't think any of us figured out what to do with those squashes. We just gave them away. But yeah, if anyone's listening and has any idea with what to do with like 7 kilograms of squash, just let us know.
Yeah,
I've
message the Instagram.
yet to discover a way to cook them that isn't disgusting. But yeah, we've made a whole bunch of other tasty stuff though.
And over the year or so that you've been volunteering, we've experienced some challenges. What comes to mind, and how do you and how does the team respond to some of the challenges, whether that be food related, transport related?
Because the demographic of Food Not Bombs swings quite young, we can have an issue with transport sometimes. Because I think you'll have heard from my previous talk that most people under 35 are having trouble affording fresh food at points in this current economy, and running a car is very expensive. So a lot of people who are quite young don't have cars. And that's kind of great because people using public transport and getting around by bikes and that kind of stuff. But like when you're feeding upwards of 40 people every week, sometimes hundreds of serves and that kind of stuff of food, you really do need a vehicle. So that's been a challenge. But yeah, we've just been putting the call out specifically for drivers and that kind of stuff, and that's worked so far. I mean, like you've got involved and that's sick. So we've got another semi-regular driver involved. And we're gonna try and get more involved too with some targeted social media posts and that kind of stuff. I was trying to get folk in the Humanist Society because they're kind of like retirees, a lot of them, to drive. But yeah, they turned out to be a lot older than I suspected, so driving could be difficult for them. So, particularly if you have a car, there's heaps for you to do in Food Not Bombs, because we could significantly expand operations if we had more vehicles. The other things is like interpersonal conflict and that kind of stuff that happens every time, from time to time, I mean. So like, basically, one volunteer might have had an issue with another volunteer in the past because of some, shit they did 10 years ago or something, and they might not feel safe around them. So yeah, in that instance, we have people who are kind of like have put their hand up to do conflict resolution in the group, and so we get together, speak to both parties, see if we can come to, an arrangement that suits them both and makes them both feel safe. Hasn't been a major issue in quite some time, which is great. And yeah, so it's always good to have, kind of like people willing to do that conflict or resolution work. It's definitely something you'll want someone with quite a bit of experience doing as well, because it can blow up quite quickly. So, but if someone, is working particularly in a job that requires a lot of handling of sticky situations, like if they're in a medical profession, if they're a paramedic, if they're a nurse or something like that, they're really the ideal people to approach for that kind of stuff. So that's one way of getting around that. And yeah, the other is, recently we've had some aggro folk at Serve. So I would say, like, it's really just one person who just kind of like starts pushing to get to the food, and that makes everyone else a bit upset naturally. And they seem to take far more food than they would ever possibly be able to eat through the week. Probably got a mental health situation going on. So one solution that we came up with, which was kind of like a temporary one, was to basically, because the fights would happen over the produce as opposed to the kind of like, meals that we were serving up. So people would start fighting over all this free produce that we were giving away. Discovered if you spread it out a lot, they didn't really have room to fight. But we had to spread it out on the ground. And then someone rightfully pointed out that's a bit ableist, so because not everyone can pick food off the ground. And so we're kind of like resolving that by, instead of kind of like serving in a jostling public space where everyone's tearing through really quickly, we're going to start serving in a park, which has much more chill vibes and all that kind of stuff. And we've also had someone volunteer to do some conflict resolution, with the person in question who pushes to get the food. And she's quite experienced at that kind of stuff and handling mental health situations. So,
Yeah, that's what I love about this community. I've only been involved for a month or so, but the active participation and trying to seek some solutions, I think is role modeling the kind of communication styles we'd like to see in any group situation. I can think of work and family conflicts that definitely don't go towards any conflict resolution skills. So I think there's some resilience in our group. And shout out if anyone knows anyone with a van. That would be amazing.
We do have some members with vans, but I think like they're all kind of like van life folks, so they're filled with like beds and that kind of stuff. Living
Understandable.
the nomad
We'll
dream.
let that go.
So
Yeah.
but yeah.
myths and misconceptions that you've come across with Food Not Bombs, maybe from friends or fellow people that don't really know what we do and think, I don't know, we're just troublemakers? If there are any.
I haven't personally come across this in the past.
Next
the
question.
Only because like Food Not Bombs, a lot of what we do is on the tin, right? It's like, you know, we serve food, we oppose violence. So like when, you know, you explain to people like, oh, I'm serving free food with Food Not Bombs, they're like, oh, sick. What an awesome thing to do. So like that's almost 100% of the feedback I get when I mention that I'm doing this. What has happened in social media on the past, like I'm reticent to even talk about this kind of stuff because like quite often it's just Nazi trolls doing this online. But like, you know, yeah, what were the Nazis that were annoying us recently? They were kind of like tradcast types. So like they come off this Facebook forum called Christian Lives Matter, which is basically using Christianity as a disguise for kind of like outright right-wing fascism. But that's a long discussion.
Yeah, apart from like right-wing trolls is...
Yeah. And so they were saying... they're always looking for an angle to kind of like mess with us on and kind of like paint us in a bad light. So they're like, oh, the fact that you're serving free food is taking wages out of the hands of people who are in the kind of like supply chain process of manufacturing that food. And I'm like, well, no. It's like, this is food that was going to be thrown out anyway. And we're just feeding people who are hungry. And, you know, we also kind of serve food at a lot of union demonstrations to promote higher wages. So like, nah.
No, it's like, never a logical argument.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing to promote wages, asshole? Like, fuck off. There was that criticism. And the other one that we sometimes get is kind of like, you're just giving food out to anyone without means testing them. And like the last thing we want to be as an organization is cops deciding who deserves food and who doesn't. So like, yeah, like maybe you are, you know, renting an expensive place or whatnot. And yeah, someone yesterday actually walked past us and said this and were like, you know, this food's going to people who don't deserve it. And like, how do you know? Like, people come from all sorts of different backgrounds. So like, you know, do you have to wait until people are actually homeless before you start like allowing them to eat?
The whole argument goes like flawed from the start because it's food that would have been thrown away. And we end up with a surplus anyway, most days. So
Yeah, and the point is like no one should have to like work under the threat of starvation. Like that is just a poor way and a really kind of like callous and brutal way to run an economy. Like, you know, access to food shouldn't be your motivating principle to go to work. Everyone should have access to food. It's a human right. And that applies to people across the income spectrum. And like, you know, some high-income folk can fall on hard times, you know? So, like, you know, someone might be living in Newtown renting an expensive place, and, you know, just that week, you know, some kind of thing messes up with their car at the same time as kind of, like, a gnarly medical bill comes through for a family member, and, you know, for that night, they've got no fresh food. They've only got, like, you know, maybe mee goreng in the cupboard, but if they, you know, come to us and take our food, like those kind of people sometimes do, like they get to eat a healthy meal that night, and that's fucking awesome. And it's being saved from landfill, and that's great. And yeah, as I said in the speech, we've yet to see a Lamborghini pull up for food. So like, I don't know, people are generally pretty good at self-sorting as to like whether they, you know, need to eat or not. But really, it's a public feast more than kind of like anything else. It's like come hang out with people from across the income spectrum, from ideologically different backgrounds, from different backgrounds that you may be used to in terms of kind of like sexual orientation, race, gender identity, ability, age, all of that kind of stuff. Let's get to know each other, and the best way to get to know each other is to have a meal together. There's been a bunch of studies done that the best way to kind of like integrate recent migrants into communities and things like that, particularly refugees from war-torn backgrounds, is to invite them over for dinner. That way they're not isolated, they feel part of the community, and yeah, they start making friends, which is kind of what you want to do. It's nice to be surrounded by friends.
Well said. Mate, last question before we gotta go. Messages that you'd like to, maybe one message each, one message that you'd like to send to maybe a listener who's interested in volunteering, and one message to our current volunteers.
Anyone who's thinking of volunteering, you're a legend. The barrier to entry is non-existent. So we've had kind of like volunteers who have just moved here from Hong Kong, living in an apartment, never cooked for themselves, turn up to cook and like learn how to cook there. That's heaps welcome. And it's refreshing for people like me to be around so I can share my cooking skills, which I think are pretty cool. And whatever your capacity is, even if you it doesn't have to be a regular commitment either, you can just drop in when you're in the hood. It doesn't have to be regular. It's cool if it is regular because you'll make friends. But yeah, just come along. Everyone's much cooler than I am. But some people are devastatingly uncool, and so yeah, you'll find some crew to hang out with. You can hang out with the cool kids, but then there's the uncool kids who are secretly cooler than the cool kids. But yeah, we won't let them know that. Yeah, heaps friendly folk. And tends to yeah, a lot of young people, a lot of queer POC folk.
Everyone's
It'll be nice
welcome.
to get some. Yeah, exactly. It'd be nice to get some people my age involved, more people my age involved. So the more older folks, so come along and hang out with me, make me feel less old. That'll be sick. Yeah, that's the message. And you're a legend for thinking about it. You can do it, and you can start up your own Food Not Bombs as well. You don't have to join us.
And easy starting point is to send a message to our Facebook page or our Instagram, which I'll link in the show notes. And message for current volunteers.
You're all fucking legends. Love you. Keep up the rad work.
Legend. Joe, it's been a pleasure. So nice to chat for more than, our usual 2 minute chat as we're going in between transports and otherwise hectic shit. So
I haven't been good at hanging out at Serve recently because just my life's been a bit berserk. But that's gonna change as of next week, so we'll have a proper chat then. All
amazing.
right.
Mate,
Much
thanks so
love.
much.
Catch you
Catch
later.
ya.